This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
What is the purpose of me receiving an education if, for one, it's not of quality, and two, I can't even focus on learning because I now have to focus on whether or not I'm in an environment that is healthy? Are you kidding me? This type of behavior, it comes from lack of love, lack of discipline, not necessarily in that order, because when you don't have an environment of love and you're told that you can't do this and you ain't this and you ain't that, and then you don't have anyone that provides you structure or accountability, this is what happens.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio at The Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Happy Sunday. It is March 2nd, 2025, and you are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. Man, Dr. Ken is an extremely busy human. I thought I was busy, but I'm going to hold the fort down one more time as I will be your host this evening. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening. Look, I know there's a lot going on. The Oscars are broadcasting now. And so hopefully you can enjoy the optics and mute the television while you tune in to The Truth Unfiltered. We've got a number of topics to discuss today, including Mayor Cavalier Johnson is signing a resolution, or has signed, I should say, a resolution proposing police recruitment incentive program. And for me, it raises this proposal to incentivize police recruitment. And I get the intent. It's definitely a positive intention for Mayor Johnson's administration. What I'd like for us to get into is the critical questions that we have to ask as we are proposing, or I should say Mayor Johnson is proposing, incentivizing police recruitment. Because the first thing that comes to my mind is, do we still as a community trust police officers? Do we see an evolving role within our law enforcement here in Milwaukee and the entire southeastern Wisconsin, but obviously from a Mayor Johnson standpoint, Milwaukee? And while recruitment and retention is an issue, folks, that is occurring all over this country, across police departments nationwide, the question that I'm going to ask, and I want to hear from you, our citing unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620, is what kind of police officers are we attracting? I'm actually glad that Dr. Ken is not here, because you know he's a retired law enforcement officer. So I might be able to get some points across that he'd probably be ruffled. But seriously, what kind of police officers are we attracting? And how do these incentives that Mayor Johnson has signed this proposal, how do these align with our broader public safety goals? So we're going to get into that. Also, there have been a number of African American, or as I prefer the term, Black, high profile, very notable journalists that are stepping down from their roles. And if you are like me, I used to be a news junkie. See, I come from Walter Cronkite, Peter Jennings, Carol Simpson, Barbara Walters. I grew up in the 80s and 90s watching news that was designed to inform, not influence. See, there's a difference. And so, to me, it's interesting that journalism has shifted more into who can break the story first. And you've got a number of major networks that are either canceling or basically provoking notable Black television news hosts like Lester Holt. Did y'all realize that Lester Holt is stepping down from NBC Nightly News? Like, I believe, and we'll get more into this in terms of the timing, but I believe we've got maybe 5 more months of Lester Holt. And Lester Holt, his trajectory in what I consider real journalism, not yellow journalism, not like National Enquirer or TikTok, or I'm talking about, like, these are certified professional experienced journalists that are stepping down. We witnessed Joy Reid from MSNBC. She had a primetime show on MSNBC. She got canceled last week. So I'm curious as to why all of a sudden major networks are either canceling or pushing Black hosts, Black anchors, to resign, or to just, they're just canceling their show. Also, in the first hour, we're going to get into African America's employment status as of January 2025. Because the headlines are showing that unemployment in this country, in the U.S., is decreasing. But this is the truth. This is Milwaukee Black Talk Radio. So I want to make sure that we are also honing in on what does that mean for Black America? And so we're going to get into the most recent job report. And we're going to discuss the state of Black employment in this country. And so we've got a lot of great topics to discuss. And when I say we, I mean you and me. That's right. I want to hear from you. I want to get your thoughts. I don't pretend to have all of the answers, but what I will do for the next 2 hours is my best to make sure that you are informed and hopefully even entertained. And so again, our Citing Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. We are streaming everywhere, y'all. We are streaming everywhere. You can watch us live. You can see me broadcasting from my traditional office on X, formerly known as Twitter. Just search for 620 WTMJ and you can see your girl DT live. You can also follow us and watch us live on YouTube simply by searching for 620 WTMJ. You want to make sure you hit that subscribe button too so you never miss a notification, an update. But we got a lot to get into. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Mayor Johnson's, he signs a proposal to incentivize the police recruitment program. I got a whole lot that got to break down for us when we come back. And also when we come back, I want to dedicate this show to Angie Stone. If you have not heard already, as of yesterday afternoon around 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Grammy nominated, legendary Angie Stone, R&B singer, was unlived or killed in a car accident. She had performed in Alabama and she was on her way back to her home in Georgia and was killed in a terrible car accident. So I want to dedicate this entire broadcast to Angie Stone. We come back, we're going to, throughout the show, play a number of her hits. If you are not familiar with Angie Stone, you're about to be. And when I tell you, I'm going to share an interesting story because I just spoke on the phone with Angie Stone on July 28th of last year. So not even a year ago, I literally spoke with her on the phone. I'm going to share with you the conversation that she and I had. And it's just a reminder. Check on your people, man. Tell somebody you love them. If you and a close friend or a relative, for whatever reasons, aren't on speaking terms and y'all can work it out, because you just never know when that will be the last time that you see that person. when you can pick up the phone and call that person, because Angie Stone, at the age of 63, the young age of 63, was killed yesterday. So stay locked in. Again, this entire broadcast is dedicated to the beautiful, talented, legendary Angie Stone. And we've got a number of topics we're going to discuss today. 855-616-1620 is our sighting unlimited talk and text line. Stay tuned. Stay locked in. We'll be back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
No more rain in this cloud for Angie Stone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. We appreciate you making the time this Sunday evening. Hope you're staying warm. I know it's cold outside, but we're Wisconsin nights. It's Tuesday for us. This is what we do. What you just heard was No More Rain, a song that was written and performed by Grammy-nominated R&B singer Angie Stone, who was killed early Saturday. Well, actually, it was Saturday evening in a car crash at the young age of 63. Hits go on and on. If you don't listen to R&B music, which I would be shocked, because R&B music is one of the most essential genres of music that goes all the way back to, not even before Motown. And Angie Stone, it was yesterday morning, about 4 a.m., she was riding back to Atlanta, her home from Alabama, and she was in one of those Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, and it turned over on Interstate 65 about 4:25 a.m. yesterday morning before being hit by a Freightliner Cascadia truck. So those are big, big trucks. And it was driven by a 33-year-old man from Texas. And so Angie Stone was pronounced dead at the scene, according to the Alabama Highway Patrol. And the crash was about 5 miles south of the Montgomery, Alabama city limits. And this is just so tragic. Now, also in the car were people from her team, I believe one of her managers, a producer, you know, some of her team, and everyone else in the band survived except Stone. And so again, Angie Stone, Grammy-nominated R&B singer, was killed yesterday morning about 4 a.m. in a car crash going from close to Montgomery, Alabama, back to her home in Atlanta. Now, I just want to share this quick story with you before we get into the police incentive update. On July 28th of last year, 2024, I had been invited by a good friend of mine to attend the Missy Elliott concert. Missy Elliott was on tour last year, and she was performing at the State Farm Insurance venue in Atlanta, Georgia. And a friend of mine invited me to go. We are literally walking towards our seats, and my friend's phone begins to ring. And she was like, oh, this is my sis, her sorority sister, because I believe that Angie Stone was a member of Zeta Phi Beta, which is a Divine Nine sorority, black sorority. And she said, oh, this is my sorority sister. Let me take this call. I didn't know who it was, y'all. I had no clue that the person that was calling my friend was Angie Stone. And she's having this conversation. She says, oh, I'm here with my girl, DT. She's a public speaker. She's got a communication coaching business. Here, you should talk to her. And so she's like, it's Angie Stone. And I'm like, what? You know, and here's the thing, y'all. I am not starstruck. I don't get nervous, obviously, as a public speaker. I love people. I love interfacing with people. I do it for a living. However, when you're like in the mindset of going to see Missy Elliott and then somebody passes you the phone and says, Angie Stone is on the phone. I'm like, and I said, I was so like nervous. I said, hi, Miss Stone. How you doing? She was like, girl, you ain't got to call me Stone. Call me Angie. And I'm like, it is such an honor to speak with you. I'm a huge fan, which I am. I'm a huge fan. I love your artistry. I love your gifts. Thank you so much for everything that you do for creatives like me and in the genre of R&B music and just music overall. And she received everything and she said, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I told her about Milwaukee. She said, oh, I love Milwaukee. I've been there, performed there. And what was a 60-second conversation felt like it was like a two-hour conversation. And what I loved about her so much, and I still do, is that, you know, we sometimes, some of us have encounters with celebrities or people who are famous, and they can be kind of standoffish. I'm not saying all celebrities, but, you know, we may have had that moment where it's like, oh, yeah, they weren't too kind as they'll, you know, they appear to be on television or in music. Angie Stone and the just overflow of love that you see on social media, that just is a reflection of who she was as a human being. So rest in peace, Angie Stone, who was killed yesterday morning in a tragic car accident when her Sprinter van. And if you Google, you can see where she performed in Alabama the night before on the 28th of February to then on the way back home from that performance, be killed in a tragic car accident. So rest in power, Angie Stone. Thank you for all your contributions. Your legacy will never, ever, ever die. Rest in power. Now, let's go to the most recent headline. Here in Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson has signed a resolution proposing police recruitment incentive program. Now, before we get into my op-ed and my questions, and I definitely want to hear from you. Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Let's hear a soundbite from CBS 58, local news affiliate, that highlighted this recent effort by Mayor Cavalier Johnson to recruit more police officers to the Milwaukee Police Department. Check this out.
And people in the city of Milwaukee want to have the deterrence. They want to have the presence of our police. So I'm pleased to continue to support the police department in those efforts that way. It's critical for our public safety in Milwaukee. Accountability and prevention, too.
Mayor Johnson is calling for Governor Evers and
accountability and prevention, too. Again, that was a soundbite from CBS 58 reporting on Mayor Johnson signing a resolution proposing a police recruitment incentive program. Now, Mayor Johnson's proposal, again, as I talked about when we first started, to incentivize police recruitment, for me personally, it raises some critical questions regarding our public safety. And I know a number of people have a huge amount of respect for police officers. And I will go on record saying that I believe that there are way more good police officers than not. And I do think it's important that we examine further the evolving role of what it means to be a law enforcement officer, especially in this city of Milwaukee. Because we're going to have to ask ourselves, And again, y'all know I like to ruffle feathers. This is the truth unfiltered. We're going to have to ask ourselves, Milwaukee, as law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, what kind of police officers are we attracting? And do these incentives align with what we see as the broader safety goals? Okay, because quite frankly, living in a city where you are every day reading headlines about reckless drivers that are hitting innocent civilians. And like I said last week, we're talking about babies to the point where about a year ago, if not sooner than that, Mayor Johnson had a very transparent and vulnerable press conference in response to this disruptive behavior. And quite frankly, I believe the real recruitment challenge, if you want to go there, it's about quantity versus quality. So is this really an issue of a shortage of police officers, or do we need a more defined recruitment strategy? I'm all about strategy, y'all. Like, I'm that person where I need you to be like, Denise, come on back, because you already in 2028. And so when I hear this, I'm thinking, number one, how did we get here? And how do we even define what recruitment looks like? Another question that I have, and I want to hear from you. Our Siting Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. How do these financial incentives impact the quality of these individuals that we're recruiting? Because at this point, I only want to see police officers who are committed and held accountable. I'm going to say that again. I only want to see police officers that are, they're going to be part of this incentive program, to be committed to community-centered policing. I don't want people to say, oh, shoot, more money. I'm about to go be a police officer. We got Joe from Brookfield who wants to comment on the incentive. Thank you so much, Joe. Good evening. You are live with DT on The Truth Unfiltered. What is your question or comment?
I just wanted to comment saying that I think the incentives are a good idea to get more police officers in, but I totally agree with you. And I think that it's important that we have police officers that are truly committed to doing the right thing and helping people and not just going for the paycheck.
Love it, Joe. Quick question for you. Again, thank you for your call. What does a good police officer, in terms of demonstrating commitment and being a good police officer, look and feel like from your lens?
From my lens, it would just be trying to do the best they can to help people, and not like they should like go into the community and try to build the community up with the power of a police officer and do the right thing instead of just going for the paycheck and maybe becoming a corrupt police officer. Does that make some sense?
That makes perfect sense, Joe. And let me underscore what you just said. Again, thank you, Joe, for your call. Thank you for tuning in. I got to underscore what Joe just shared. Again, that's what I'm trying to get at, because I want to make sure that this proposal to incentivize police recruitment is not going to attract people who just simply want to, you know, make some extra money. Because law enforcement, especially in a city like Milwaukee, and I don't even like, what do you mean when you say that, Denise? You know exactly what I mean. If you tune in to TMJ or The Truth, or you just watch news, don't go there. You know what I mean when I say a city like Milwaukee. There's a lot of great things about Milwaukee. However, we've got some work to do, and we're not the only city, especially in the Midwest. But I want to make sure that our taxpaying dollars are being put to the best use. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to make sure that this is like an investment. This is like a public investment from taxpaying dollars. So you are a part of this. This is what we call, you are a stakeholder and a shareholder with this, and what I would consider a police reform effort. And when we come back from break, I want to hear more from you, because when I say a city like Milwaukee, when we are offering signing bonuses or, you know, more money, monetary incentives, there's got to be a revisit of cultural competency. There's got to be specialized training that should be tied to these incentives. So before you actually get this incentive, you're going to have to complete de-escalation training. You're going to have to complete cultural competency training. How involved have you been in the community? What does community engagement look and feel like for you, rather than just saying, here, sign here, there's your bonus? That's what I'm saying. So I want to hear from you again. Our Truth talking text line. Our Siting Unlimited talking text line is 855-616-1620. You can stream, watch me right now live on X, formerly known as Twitter, or you can also tune in live on YouTube. Just search for 620 WTMJ. I want to hear from you. We got a lot to talk about, America. But specifically, we come back, let's hone in on this great city of Milwaukee. The realities are that we can be great, but we got to start having those honest, open dialogues about the state of our law enforcement in this community. More to come. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. Dr. Ken Harris is on assignment today, so you got me. Stay locked in. We'll be back.
This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
I see you nodding your head. You're like, what is this? This is what we call real music. I'm gonna let it ride for a little bit so you can just experience this artistry of Angie Stone, who we lost tragically in a car accident yesterday at the age of 63. And yes, that is a sample of the OJs. What they do. They're smiling in your face all the time. They want to take your place. The best. That's right. That's why I love creative people. There's like copying, and then there's taking something that was already great and making it even greater. So shout out to Angie Stone. Rest in power. Before break, we were discussing Mayor Johnson has signed a resolution proposing police recruitment incentive programs. On our Citing Unlimited talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. One of our valued listeners shares, I would love if, well, first of all, let me go ahead and plug this show, because this person says, I would love if WTMJ would replay your show nightly from 12 to 3 instead of America at night. You are informative without the ridiculous bios. Work on it. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, please contact the program manager. This person also says, and I love this statement. Woo, this is a good one. This person just shared on our Citing Unlimited talk and text line that the best police officers must be colorblind. A to the man. Now, if you're just tuning in before break, Mayor Johnson has signed a proposal as part of his initiatives, which, you know, I have a lot of respect for Mayor Johnson. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't like Mayor Johnson. You may not agree with what he's doing, but to say, you know, you don't like somebody, you don't even know him. Like, I personally know Mayor Johnson. And there's nothing that he has done to make me say I don't like him. Do I agree with everything that he does? No. But am I the mayor? No. Am I going to run for mayor of Milwaukee? Probably not. I don't like to say never. So Mayor Johnson's initiative to implement a police recruitment incentive program, I agree, is important because, again, it addresses this critical issue that is facing law enforcement across the country. And that is the ability to attract and retain, and to our value listeners' point, qualified officers. See, that's the key. That's the operative word, qualified police officers in an increasingly challenging environment. And so I commend Mayor Johnson's intention. I'm now focusing on what's going to be the impact. Because what we have to do as taxpaying citizens is examine what the potential outcomes will be and how they align with our broader public safety objectives. I mean, like think about it. When you wake up in the morning, the last thing that you want to have to worry about is, am I going to get hit by a reckless driver who doesn't have a license, who doesn't even own the car that they're driving? I mean, we're talking about basic public safety objectives. Now, let me give you some facts here, because these are for all my data people that are listening. Now, if you look at national trends, law enforcement, and I'll use the word agencies, have experienced what I would consider a significant decline in recruit numbers. Okay, now depending on the region of the country, you've got decreases ranging from 27 to 60%. Now there was a recent case study, check this out, y'all, in New South Wales, Australia. Yeah, I did my homework, y'all. I told you, I'm trying to be informative. I'm trying to bring back real journalism. Now, there was a case study conducted in New South Wales, Australia. The police force there implemented what was considered a substantial wage increase. Are y'all ready for this? Of up to 40%, which resulted, remember, we're talking about intent versus impact. It resulted in over 2,500 new applications. And they started this back in November of 2023. And you can fact check, you can go to the Daily Telegraph. This is the source of where I'm getting this from. But this is where it gets problematic for me, because this basically suggests that competitive compensation can attract candidates. But what's the sustainability and long-term impact of these types of incentives? Are we getting qualified officers? Because according to the FBI, and again, you can fact check, right now in this country, law enforcement agencies are experiencing a significant decline in people who actually wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a police officer. Now, what do incentives look like right now? So many police departments across the country are offering sign-on bonuses. Now, we're not new to this, America. We've seen this in the healthcare industry with the shortage of nurses. We see this. We see where employers, both public and private sector, will, when there's a shortage of talent, when there's a shortage of a pipeline of applicants, you see the sign-on bonuses go up. You see the salary increases. But what is happening is that that's great, but if you do not have what I call the commitment, the accountability, where within these incentives, because for me, I would make sure, if I were mayor, I'd say, okay, yeah, you get this money when you do this. Number one, you got to get some de-escalation training. Devon Mitchell, who was murdered outside of the Hyatt Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. And this is my thoughts. Would be here today if those security officers and whoever else had proper de-escalation training. That's my feelings. If they also had cultural competency, because it's not a one size fits all when you're, and that's why I appreciate the valued listener who said, you know, and be colorblind, but also in addition to being colorblind, recognize that when you do see color, because I'm not, if you say, Denise, you're a black woman, I'm not offended. I want you to see that I'm a black woman. I want you to see I'm a black person. I've been black for 48 years. I'm proud of being a black person. It's been tough here lately, but I'm hanging in there because I don't have a choice. But there is a need to have cultural competency, knowing how and why different cultures show up. You can't look at it from your lens. You've got to have that awareness. And also, before you apply to be a law enforcement officer, what was your experience in the community prior? How were you engaging in the community? Because what's going to happen is that you're going to have, in any situation, including this incentive program, the risk for me is that if you are attracting individuals that are motivated primarily by financial gain rather than a commitment to the public safety, to the community, that's going to be a problem. Let's keep this going. We're going to take this conversation into our first hour, and we're going to share what Peter shared on our Citing Unlimited talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. We are talking about Mayor Johnson's recent proposal that he has signed, proposing police recruitment incentive program. I want to hear from you, because there's a lot that we have to consider when it comes to incentivizing police recruitment. Do these incentives align with our public safety needs? Is this the best use of our taxpaying dollars? And is the recruitment the real problem, or is it the retention that's the bigger issue? Because it's one thing to recruit somebody. It's the honeymoon phase. But do we get to keep quality not quantity, but quality and committed law enforcement officers. Because I have to also defend them, too. A lot of the law enforcement officers are dealing with burnout, low morale, and the overall culture. So when we come back, let's unpack this further. And we may have to just take this throughout the second hour. I'm with you if you're with me. Signing unlimited talk and text line 855-616-1620. Tune in to me right now live on YouTube or X simply by searching for 620 WTMJ. This is The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. I'm your host tonight. Dr. Ken's on assignment. We will be back.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. Dr. Ken is on assignment, so it's just you and I. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. Before break, we were discussing Mayor Cavalier Johnson's signing a resolution proposing a police recruitment incentive program. We've been getting a lot of smoke on our Citing Unlimited talk and text line. Peter, another valued listener, says, I would love to see a financial incentive for Milwaukee Police Department officers where in order to qualify, they need to both complete specialized training with periodic refreshers in accordance with Denise's recommendations and that they must live in the city of Milwaukee. With those requirements, perhaps the incentive should be ongoing rent or mortgage assistance. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, Peter. I completely agree that this should be something that's ongoing. I love the concept of periodic refreshers because, again, it's easy when you get that first bonus check and you're like, yeah, we in here. And then the job starts kicking in. Because there's a lot of things that have to be considered when you are incentivizing a recruitment process. Because once you acquire talent, you got to figure out how do we keep the talent. Right, Peter? Peter said amen. So is this just a matter of shortage or is it also a retention issue? And is the retention issue bigger? Because if you look at the police officers now, a lot of them are burnt out. America's burnout, but especially police officers. Can you imagine, like, just think about that, being a police officer right now in the year 2025 in the city of Milwaukee. You got low morale. You got culture. So is this incentive going to impact long-term effectiveness? And Peter, I love the periodic refreshers. And I'll share something with you. Let me know what you think. Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. The best way to get rid of great team members is to tolerate bad ones. I want to know how this incentivized recruitment effort is going to ensure police accountability and effectiveness. How are we measuring that? How are we going to, in addition to providing these sign-on bonuses or whatever incentives that is going to entail, the culture. Culture kills strategy. It's undefeated. You can have all the strategy in the world. You can have all the incentives. But if the culture is including, again, burnout, low morale, etc., you can forget about it. Then what you're going to find out is it's a Band-Aid solution. And I, for one, don't like Band-Aid solutions. I like measurable and sustainable solutions. I would also, as we close out our first hour, Mayor Johnson, have we benchmarked other cities that have had similar recruitment initiatives? And what has been the impact? Has it resulted in real change? Or has this been more of like, again, a temporary workforce boost? Because I'm going to share with y'all right now as part of my Truth Unfiltered. This is not about filling vacancies. It's got to be about reshaping the future of policing in this city. And if indeed the incentives are going to be part of the solution, then we're going to have to be intentional about what kind of police officers we are bringing in and how this incentive program is going to support long-term public safety. And I'll even go further, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers when I say this, reignite the trust in our police system. Because basically, if we don't, then we get into the definition of insanity. And we all know what insanity means, doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. And so basically we'll be repeating old patterns with new dollars. I'll say that again for the folks in the back that didn't hear me. We're going to basically be repeating old patterns with new money. And so again, I just want to understand, based on the national trends that we're seeing across the country, because this is not just a Milwaukee issue. I mean, of course we care about what happens here in Milwaukee, because we live here and we pay our taxes here and we are good people. And it's always that small population that impact the rest of us that just want to be good people. We deserve to live in a city where public safety is at the top of our leadership and our mayor's priorities. And again, I'm cool with incentivizing police recruitment. I just want to make sure that it's sustainable, it's measurable, and it's something that, again, we can look back and say, yep, this was a good decision. There's got to be, in addition to the monetary incentives, there's got to be a lot of adjustments that are made in our police department. We got to have new training, because let me just say this, y'all. What required to be an effective police officer just 10 years ago is different now in 2025. There's so many complexities with modern policing, and I need for us to just be okay with that. Like, it's not the same. That's why I'm an advocate for new, young, innovative talent. Yes, bring them in. Because a lot of us that, you know, we came in during a completely different time. And we don't know. We're not. It's okay. Let the young folks be part of the new application pool. But be prepared for what they need. Because, again, there's so many complexities with what it means to be a modern day police officer. Are Citing Unlimited truth? I'm going to get this right, y'all. Bear with me. Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Peter also says, I think the mayor, chief, and union head need to meet regularly to create and refine performance standards designed to meet community needs from officers, and those who meet them get ongoing incentives, whereas those who do not get dismissed if they don't improve. I agree with that too, Peter. Someone else says the court system also needs to have their backs to aid retention. If my efforts at my job are futile, I'm public school, y'all, so bear with me. Evansville, Vandenberg County Public School. I'm going to lose gusto. Appreciate y'all's thoughts. This is a very big deal. Like, if you are not familiar with Mayor Johnson's resolution, and again, he just signed a resolution to recruit, as part of his efforts to recruit more officers to the MPD. He did this Friday. You got to get familiar. So stay tuned for our second hour. Jessica is going to be bringing us our TMJ breaking news. Jessica Gatso. I love me some Jessica. So stay locked in after the break. You'll hear from her, WTMJ Breaking News Center, and then I will continue giving you the hot topics that you deserve with valid information, not to influence, but to inform you. This is The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken. Stay locked in.